Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, the talk about the discipleship in this morning's gospel strikes me as very timely, at least in this part of the world. And by that I mean, well, just realize the back-to-school sales have run their course. School bus routes have been established with some kind of regular rhythm. Family schedules have changed to fit the demands of school. Evening homework is again part of the daily burden of young students. It's September, and the school year has begun in full force. And so, for the gospel to speak about discipleship seems timely. I live just two blocks away, and I see all the students from MSOE, School of Engineering, carrying all kinds of book packs back and forth. Last night I had a confirmation down in Kenosha at St. Mary's, and it was for young seniors in high school. And inevitably their letters about confirmation included all kinds of things that were very appropriate to seniors in high school. Things on their mind, like which college might they go to, whether there's the possibility of scholarships or financial assistance, the major, selection of a major. I think it was in the morning paper that there was a report that said something like 27% of college students graduate in 4 years. They keep changing as they go through, much to the chagrin of parents, I suppose. Serious jobs are taken this year by those seniors to save money. All of a sudden, it's not just to use in the course of fun, it's saving for the future. And they acknowledge that they're beginning to find a focus as to a life's profession, maybe nursing or engineering or teaching or business or medicine or military life, and they're planning accordingly. So the gospel on discipleship this weekend is timely. Scholars tell us that maybe the word discipleship isn't quite the right word, because it's very academic. It has a sense of classroom about it, discipleship. Whereas in the gospel, the invitation is to become a partner in God's sovereign work in the world. God's kingdom is, in fact, the transformation of the world. So this is not quite academic. There's a hands-on aspect to it that kind of evokes a sense of a lab or internship of some kind. So maybe what we should say is the gospel is about apprenticeship or internship. I had a couple of serious eye surgeries this summer, and when the surgeon would come in to see me, there was an intern trotting along, just taking good notes mentally and also taking notes and learning how this first-class surgeon at the Eye Institute, just first-class, was handling things. Many occupations and professions presume a period of training. There are student teachers. Athletes are blessed if they got a good coach. Preparation for Olympic tryouts depend upon a very good coach, swimming or whatever. If you want to be a first-class chef, well, you peel potatoes for 2 years and then gradually learn how to make a sauce of one kind or another. I've said before the story about the great Horowitz, the pianist, at the age of 90 went back to Russia and was talking to some students, one of whom stood up, a young man, stood up and said, in Russian, Mr. Horowitz, I want to be a pianist. I want to be a pianist like you. And Horowitz looked at him and said, how old are you? He said, 17. Horowitz said, it's too late. You need to start earlier to be really good. The best jazz musicians, they practice the scales for years before they can improvise. They need to just do the basics again and again until they get the feel of it from not just outside, but from within. One time, I took my mother to a racetrack down in Illinois. She hadn't been there before. She wanted to go, so I said, okay, we'll go down for an afternoon. And as soon as she got in to the stand, she went right down to the fence and turned around and looked at the bleachers. And she said to me, I think that lady knows what she's doing. And she went up then and sat next to the woman and did all the betting that the woman did. And she won $140 and took me out to dinner. The issue is that we really need to learn from other people. And that it's not, and the best kind of learning is from the best kind of teachers. I playfully say that children, little children, who are accustomed to having a parent ask when they come home from school, what'd you learn today, should first of all ask the parent, what did you learn today? Because all of life is learning. As I stood before coming up to the podium for a moment, I stood there before that majestic crucifix here in the cathedral, and I thought, what should we learn from that? What should we learn? The disciples who traveled with Jesus watched how he dealt with the blind and the sick and the lame. They watched that. They watched how he treated sinners. They watched how he engaged the Pharisees at dinner in conversation. All that is part of the kingdom of God, God's sovereign action in the world. And the disciples, apprentices, interns were invited to be instruments in that transformation of the world. That's not a classroom operation. It's much more comprehensive. You know, because we prayed together often in the past, how regularly I will simply stop and insert into this. Remember, purpose of the church is to praise God by transforming the world. And we're invited to be, by baptism, invited to be partners in that whole task. So this morning's gospel lists three areas of life which need a close, clear look if we're going to be apprentices or disciples or interns of Jesus in the transformation of the world. First of all, playfully I call it high school. Playfully. The family. That mixture of personalities and individuals over whom we have no choice. It's given to us by God. Unique, eccentric, sometimes unfairly demanding, problematic. When the gospel says you have to hate our family, our parents and brothers and sisters, that's a Semitic expression that simply says there are some things that are more important. If you love one thing, you have to hate the other. Not really hate in our sense, but say that some things are more important than others. There's that wonderful story in Mark's gospel and then in the others where Jesus is busy teaching and they say, hey, there's your mother is out there and your brothers are out there and they want to talk to you. And I'm sure what they wanted to do, those brothers wanted to say, would you please come home? Enough of this. And his response was, who is my mother and my brothers? Anybody who does the will of God, that's my family. So the first area that a disciple, intern, apprentice needs to do is take a look and see how one's family fits into the larger scheme of things. To be respectful and helpful in every way possible, but also to know that that God's plan is bigger than just one's own family. And to sort it out. To sort it out. And the second question, I master's level, if I can be playful with academic levels. Second level asks that we have a closer look at the hard things in life, whatever they may be. Gospel calls it the cross. And it's one thing to wear somebody else's cross, as I do, rather nice piece of jewelry, a gift from Cardinal Harley a couple years ago. But our own cross, the one thing we would change in life at this moment if we could, but we can't. So Jesus says, you want to be my disciple, figure out how you relate to that. Figure out how you relate to it. Embrace it in some way. Learn from it in some way. Transform it in some way. Because we are committed from the very beginning of our baptism to the death and resurrection of the Lord. It's the key to everything. So to be an intern or an apprentice is to take a second look at the things that are tough in life and figure out how to deal with them the way Jesus would deal with them. Learn from him. Finally, the whole question of possessions. Maybe that's doctoral level, I don't know. Recognition that nothing really belongs to us. That everything we use is on lease. A couple of Sundays ago, I made reference to sorting out possessions and how there's a great difference between that moment in life when we were asked by our insurance company to make a list of all the things we have that would have to be replaced if there ever was a disaster. That's one thing. Quite another exercise occurs when those poor people just dig through the rubble after a tornado. And the list that we'd make for the insurance company is not what they're pulling up out of the rubble. Maybe some of that is gone. But the precious things are quite different. And then the realization in terms of whatever we have that we say, oh, that's mine, is that none of it belongs to us, that it's somehow given to us for use. And a disciple takes a good hard look at that. So this gospel is an invitation to approach Jesus of Nazareth and say, I want to learn from you. Teach me something about the big issues in life. And it's going to cost something. But we say to Jesus of Nazareth, as individuals but also as a whole church, we want to learn from you. Because you alone can help us into the fullness of life with all its richness, even here. So teach us something that matters. Teach us something that matters. Gospel of the Lord.